Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Hello, live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona. This is not Dave Isaac, this is Mike Hoffman, and we're here with Breaking Murphy's Law. So what is Murphy's Law? What can go wrong will go wrong. So the point of our show, Breaking Murphy's Law, is to help you to minimize the impact of Murphy's Law in your life and business. We want to defeat Murphy's Law. We want to overcome Murphy's Law. We want to help you break Murphy's Law before Murphy's Law breaks you. We want to give people advice, inspiration, and tools that will help them in life and business. Really, we want to help you and give you ideas that will help you to achieve your own personal potential. So today we have a special guest. His name is Chris Roden, and he is an American Family Insurance agent. And I'll let him introduce himself very quickly.
Hi, this is Chris Roden with American Family Insurance out of Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, in a few minutes we'll let him talk a little bit more about himself. We also have Ann Husky, who is an account executive with ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Ann, say hello to the audience.
Hello.
Oh, good job, Ann. Ann's kind of a stealth visitor here.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, you're doing great. So anyway, I'll get going here. In the words of Coach John Wooden, success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction and knowing you made the effort to become the best that you are capable of becoming. Note, he never stressed winning. You did not hear him use the word winning in that last statement, even though he's one of the most winning coaches in all of basketball history. He never stressed winning. He stressed doing your best. Well, the purpose of this show is to help you to do your best, and especially, don't let Murphy's Law stand in the way of you giving your best. So, again, today we have Chris Roden on our show, and he is an insurance agent with American Family, and that's just the beginning. We'll let him tell us more about himself in a few minutes, but first I'd like to give you a few thoughts. Like always, I will start the show with a few comments in order to introduce our theme for today. Last month, we talked about using a social support circle to achieve success and thereby defeat Murphy's Law. Please excuse me. Social support circle is a bit of a tongue twister for me. Anyway, we talked about the idea that it is important to surround yourself with positive and energetic people. A social community allows you to do two things. Both to succeed with the help of others, then to become a source of hope for others by sharing your success, and even become a coach, a mentor, or a teacher yourself. This creates a social circle of support. In the words of Jim Rohn, the success philosopher and mentor of Tony Robbins, don't join an easy crowd, join a successful crowd where the expectations are high and the payoff is great. Achieving your goals and success in your life means you have to do it by yourself, but you can't do it alone. That's quite a paradox, huh?
It is.
You have to do it by yourself, but you can't do it alone. You must protect your environment and surround yourself with positivity. Associating with negative people and places can be a direct cause of failure. Associating with positive people and places can be a direct cause of success. Your environment, your physical and social environment, is a critical success factor. Get around people who are charged with positive energy. People like Chris and Ann.
Thank you.
I'm fortunate to be around them right now. Emotions and attitudes are contagious. Enthusiasm is contagious. Success is contagious. Unfortunately, so is negativity and failure. Surrounding yourself with the right people helps you to generate thoughts and behaviors you need to lead to success. So you want to surround yourself with like-minded people. A mastermind group of peers who will provide you with accountability, role models, positive environment, specialized knowledge, the kind that you can get through education, support, and you can do it encouragement, people who can help mentor you, and that fulfills half the circle. The other half is teaching, sharing, and supporting others on your part. So how can you find those people? Those people who are like-minded, who have positive energy and abundant enthusiasm, who can help you to be enthusiastic, positive, and energetic, to have the absolute confidence that you will do your best and achieve your own potential. While worthwhile accomplishments require facing discomfort and pain, so it makes it even more important to have the support of the right people. So now, how do you find these people for your life? I would say first, set a goal in your mind, and even better on paper, that you want to find the right people in your life. As Napoleon Hill says in Think and Grow Rich, you must have a burning desire. The founder of Service Master, Marion Wade, did this by praying consistently that God bring the right people to his life and his business. Next, look for ways to help others get what they want, and what you want will come to you. Do what you have always done and get what you've always got. If what you are doing isn't working, try something else. Move in other circles. To think outside the box, you must get outside of the box. Your beliefs shape your thoughts. Your thoughts translate into action, and the actions produce results. Start looking for best practices. Steal shamelessly from others who are successful. Seek these people out. These are the people that you want in your social circle support. So anyway, I hope we can get a chance later in the show to talk about finding the right people to have in your life. But first, let's get on to our guest, Chris Roden. So Chris, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, we've been in the Valley for 20 years. We come from San Diego, California. I'm fortunate to be married to my wife for 25 years. Her name is Karen Roden.
Oh, congratulations.
And I have two kids, Kristen and Alex. Mm-hmm. And we've been in the insurance business since 1996.
Okay, wow. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what about your work as an insurance agent?
Well, we provide auto, home, business, and life insurance to residents of Colorado, Arizona. We service primarily North Scottsdale, but we're open to anyone in the Valley or in the state for that matter.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. So now, how did you become an insurance agent, Chris?
Well, two things. I wanted to get out and start my own business, and then secondly, my son had lost his hearing at age two, mm-hmm. and I needed to spend more time with the schools, working to advocate for him on special needs and things of that nature, so I needed to find a profession that gave me the opportunity to do so, and the insurance industry afforded me the daily mm-hmm. flexibility to go and meet with the officials, and so it worked out great. He's a sophomore at ASU, mm-hmm. and all those years between finish school and kindergarten all the way through elementary school with the hard work paid off in the end.
Wow, that's great. That is really great that you've been able to have a work that you wanted to do that could also accommodate your lifestyle and your family. That's just fantastic.
That's the key, as you were talking earlier, about positive thinking and having the time and energy to do things that work for you.
Oh, great, great. Well, I'm looking forward to exploring that further. So now tell me about, as an insurance agent, how do you treat your policyholders?
Well, two things, two major rules. Number one rule is I never leave the evening before I return every email, every phone call, every voicemail, because every person's opinion is important. Mm-hmm. And the second rule is you want to make sure that everyone's treated the same. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how big the account is, doesn't matter the person brings you one auto, one renter's policy, or whole commercial policy with several hundred policies. You want to treat everybody exactly the same. And so that's our formula. Everyone gets treated the same, and you're prompt, and you respond to them before you leave for the day.
So do you find that to be a challenge, to treat everyone the same?
No, because I love people, and everyone has a story. Everyone has a good quality about them, and so for me it just comes naturally, and I don't look at it in terms of the size of the account. It's just a person on the phone that has something that they need.
Okay. Wow, that's fantastic. So are there any other factors that you think that have led to you being successful?
Well, I think primarily, you have hard work is one thing, of course, working a lot of hours. Nothing comes easy. As you say, you do it by yourself. Always wanting to try new things, mm-hmm. never looking at the same old rut. You try new hobbies. Another thing I like to do is always learn, just to continue to research not only about the things that I'm interested in, but maybe things that I'm really not. And then surround yourself with great people.
Right.
That would be the final thing as well.
Okay, great. Well, I know. Boy, it's just, you can never stop learning, huh?
That's right.
I mean, people thought, I'll go to college, or I'll finish high school, or I'll go to college, I'll get a degree, and then I'll go work, and that's the end of it.
That's right.
But it seems like, well, the acceleration, the need to learn is just accelerating.
Yeah, and in this day and age with the Google and the Internet, you know, knowledge is really at your fingertips. So if you mm-hmm. have a hobby and you want to learn more about football or politics or business or what have you, you just have to Google something in and educate yourself. And so a lot of times knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
And I apply that in all facets of my life and in the business as well, just understanding exactly who you're dealing with and what the topic is and mm-hmm. really researching it hard.
Uh-huh. Well, I can't think of any area of any business or any pursuit where someone can be in a position where they don't have to learn
right,
constantly.
Right.
Boy, I've heard it said that, you know, a college degree is not as important as it used to be, but the need to learn and continuously be learning and educating oneself has never been more and more important than it is right now.
Yes, I absolutely believe that too. And over the years, you know, I have 3 degrees. I have 2 bachelors and a master's. But that's, like you said, degree doesn't really mean much. It talks about your life experiences and your business experiences. And so mm-hmm. you learn more by people and by doing and that common sense approach, you know. So I think book education is very important, but I think also life lessons are very important as well, too.
Okay. Wow. What do you think,
Ann? I agree with that. Life lessons are.
Oh, good. Wow. So I think we're about ready for a break here. So anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes with Chris and with Ann Husky.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm.
A family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe. Collins and Collins, great family law attorneys and more.
Hi, I'm Paul and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
At Beerenbaum & Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum & Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, we're back, and this is not Dave Isaac. It's Mike Hoffman with Breaking Murphy's Law. So speaking of Murphy's Law, we have our guest, Chris Roden with American Family Insurance. Chris, can you tell us about the role of insurance in helping a person break Murphy's Law in their life?
Sure. If you look about self-imposed limitations in life, business, and sports, one of them might be keeping what you have, you know, keeping your assets, your income, your lifestyle. Another thing might be the inability to understand and calculate risk, you know, risk and reward. Mm-hmm. And finally, the lack of peace of mind needed to focus on achieving higher goals. So all those things can hold a person back, and insurance is one way that we can go ahead and do that. Insurance has been around for a very long time. In fact, I'll let you guess, how long do you think insurance has been around?
Oh, no. I don't know, 100 years, 200 years?
Yeah, most people. Ann, what do you think?
I'm going to say about 70.
So do you think Christopher Columbus had insurance?
He did.
He did, right?
Actually, insurance goes back for thousands of years.
Really?
Yes.
So Norman the Conqueror had insurance?
Yep. In fact, we'll even go back before that. We'll go back to the days of early ancient man, the hunters. You know, back in the day, you could either hunt by yourself and be gored or killed by the prey that you're trying to kill, or you would hunt in a group. And so five of you would be one-fifth of a chance that you would be gored. So in a sense, that was insurance as well.
Okay. Well, I don't like that insurance so much.
Then in 3000 BC, the Chinese merchants would take their cargo ships and ship them down the dangerous rivers, and they would put the things in different boats. That way they wouldn't lose all of their cargo. If they lost one ship, that would be okay. You know, so when that went through. And then...
So do they teach you this in insurance classes?
No, this is my Google. This is my... I was telling you about researching and living and doing things out of the books.
Right? Okay. Most people wouldn't know that.
Right.
That's good.
And then in ancient Babylon, 1700 BC, they actually... That was what that code of Hammurabi, which is the first known laws of man.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance was actually set up in there if a person lost a shipment, that if they paid a small fee, that they would be reimbursed.
Okay.
So now we're talking, you know, almost 2,000 years before the birth of Christ that was the case. And then the Middle Ages, the guilds, you know, the craftsmen would pool their money together. And so if something would happen where they got their goods stolen or their house was burnt down or they died, the families would actually get some money. And so that was a safety net. And what that did was allowed people then to leave the farms and to leave the agricultural jobs that they had. And they'll go into the services and crafts area, which actually benefited society as a whole. So that's when we talk about breaking Murphy's Law and limitations. Mm-hmm. It was that safety net that gave them the confidence to go out and try something different and something new.
So these all sound like progressive forms of risk management.
They do.
Wow.
Indeed. And so, how, you know, as things change, they always stay the same, don't they? And so a lot of times we think of things, people typically think of insurance like you did 100 years ago, the 29 crash or FDR's Social Security Administration thing in 1935. But as you can see, it goes back for thousands of years and has benefited society.
So maybe that's just a natural human phenomena to want to have some kind of risk management or insurance.
Absolutely. And then I'll just give you two more examples. In 1666, the Great Fire of London occurred where they lost 13,000 houses in one day.
Wow.
And so the first insurance company was started in 1680 called the Fire Office. And then finally, in the United States, Ben Franklin, who what didn't he do, you know?
Wow.
Started an insurance company, and he would warn people about the risks and actually was one of the first tough underwriters, would refuse to write houses, which were all wood. And so... this history goes way back in American history and way back in history in general.
Wow, that is very, very interesting. Wow, so anything more you want to say about this?
No, I think as far as the history goes, that's fine too.
Okay. Can we move on to present day?
We can, indeed.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, really, right now, at the moment, you know, insurance is basically taking care of one's financial security, the ability to gauge risk, and once again, giving one peace of mind. So the average person out there listening on this radio program really needs auto insurance, home insurance, life insurance, health, disability, and whatnot to protect the things that are very important to them. And so I came today to discuss primarily homeowners insurance, but we can discuss anything you want on your show. So.
Okay, great. Well, you know, as far, well, just we can talk about insurance in general or homeowners insurance. I know people, is that something that people feel like, or do you feel like they need to be scared or made afraid in order to buy insurance?
You know, I really don't. I think, you know, insurance is such a funny business. If you think about it, we have enforcers out there. If you drive your car without insurance, mm-hmm. you get a ticket for $900, right? So the state makes you get it. If you have a mm-hmm. loan on your car, your bank makes you have it. If you have a loan on your house, the bank makes you have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because they're money-making or greedy. It's because it's important for society to have their assets protected. So
right. We
don't want to scare someone, but they should buy the insurance for what's in their own best interest. And since their home is the one thing that they've probably put most of their money into
versus
the payments or deposit, they really need to protect it and make sure that it's insured properly.
Right. So in a way, that's a useful function of our government and our society is to, I guess I don't want to use the word force, but pretty much we have laws that are protecting people by requiring us to have insurance on our automobiles and our homes.
Absolutely. And we can get into things like what they call moral hazards and so forth, where they want to make sure that, you know, the insurance is there to prevent a specific loss, you
mm-hmm.
know, and you want to make sure that, you know, the houses are inspected. But the banks, you know, when they loan money, they want to make sure that their collateral is being protected. And that's why they enforce the insurance on the homes, for example. But even if you have bought a house for cash, it would make a lot of sense to insure it. Because once again, would you be able to replace it if the house were to burn, for example?
Well, sure. Well, we had a home that we worked on a couple weeks ago. It was a house, a young lady. I believe she was a graduate from ASU, 24 years old, working at a bank. Just bought her condo, which was a nice size condo in a nice part of town. She had bought it 2 weeks before, and the hot water line to her washing machine, which was upstairs on the second floor, came disconnected, and it flooded the whole house in the middle of the night. 2 weeks, as she had owned her house for 2 weeks, and fortunately she was insured. And can you imagine being a young person and just having, not really being, you know, not knowing life and not having that much experience in life and facing something like this.
You bet. And, you know, and it's maybe not even making your first home payment and having that happen.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, those are the things in the insurance business. People don't think about this, but in the desert, the number one claim is water, not fire.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's because of exactly those things like the washing machine hoses. I mean, everyone should go and check that. The toilet hoses that come up from the actual service to the bottom of the tank there very typically break. You have the water heaters that break. And all of that is preventable. You know, if people will just go and replace those hoses periodically, maybe put a steel braided hose in, what have you. And the second thing is that people need to know where to turn off the water.
Mm-hmm.
So many times there'll be a claim and people just don't know where the water shut off is and the water keeps on going.
Right.
So the listeners out there should really know exactly where the main shutoff is. Usually you're near the front of the house and label it so in the dark you can find it.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to mitigate any kind of loss should that occur.
Right, right. Well, I remember when I was younger seeing commercials on TV asking, do you have an escape plan for your house?
Right.
You know, if there's a fire in the middle of the night. Well, do you know where your water, where your main shutoff valve is for your water heater? Does your wife know? Do your kids know? I mean, does maybe your neighbor? I mean, you just never know. A lot of times these things happen when you're gone and away. So that's a very important point that you bring up, Chris.
Absolutely. And if you have second homes like I do, you know, we typically will shut off the water altogether. You know, and if you do that, of course, you need to shut off the water heater as well because you don't want it to get dry. But that's just prudent management. If you're going to go away for 3 weeks, now sometimes the water is connected to your sprinkler system for your plants, and you have to kind of figure out what that's going on. But at least let the neighbors know. So if you do have water going down the street, that they can turn it off for you as well.
Wow. Well, we're in the business, myself and Ann, we're in the business of helping people who have water losses in their homes.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of interesting. Ann, you had an experience last week. You came back from a trip with your friend, and what happened?
And his reverse osmosis flooded his kitchen.
And Sammy, he is a very particular OCD kind of everything has to be perfect kind of person. And
always shuts the water off, and one time he didn't.
That's when it's Murphy's Law. That's what the show's about, right?
Yeah, so it's amazing. Yeah, Murphy's Law is out there, but we have to protect ourselves against it.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. So let's see. Let's see. Can you tell me some of the problems and challenges you're seeing out there for your policyholders right now?
Well, I mean, just like everybody else in the economy, there has been a lot of foreclosures and short sales, and the people have lost their jobs, God bless them. And so, you know, it's tough to come up with money to pay premiums and what have you. But there is good news. You know, right now we've seen the home market's rebounding. I'm very busy in terms of, you know, insuring new homes that are being purchased, and we're seeing more cars and boats and RVs and So I see a glimmer of, you know, we want to talk about positive thinking and get this economy going. I actually start to see that now a little bit more within my business. Because when you start to see the motorcycles and the boats and the RVs getting added to policies, that means people feel more confident about the economy.
And they're spending a little more money.
That's right. Wow. So we're seeing a little of that too. So, but that would be primarily in terms of challenges that I've seen with the policyholders would be that, you know.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we may have hit bottom and are coming back the other way.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, I'm not an expert. You can have maybe next week on your show somebody who knows real estate. But, I mean, for what I've read and what I've been seeing and hearing, at least on the lower-end homes, it's coming up. And even some of the more mid-range homes, we're starting to see that, too.
Well, I think experts find out later what's really happening out on the ground.
Right.
And what the ground is saying is that things are hopefully turning around. So
absolutely.
That's good. You see more BMWs and Mercedes being insured lately?
You know, I don't. Actually, you know, it's so funny because a lot of my high-end customers will drive Priuses now and some of the more gas-efficient vehicles. So they're seeing a more pragmatic approach. And so actually, those cars are great. I mean, there's some people that always like to buy them, and there's a certain niche market for that. And you can talk to the guys up in North Scottsdale that sell BMW, and they're doing very well in Mercedes, and as they should be. But there's also a pragmatic approach. And so you're starting to see a little bit more of that now, too.
Okay. Well, good. Wow. So how's the economy affecting the insurance industry?
Well, I mean, in general, the insurance rates for cars, you'll see, if you notice on TV, there's always ads, you know, say $500 here, $400 there, but it's always on auto. On home insurance, the rates are actually starting to go up industry-wide a little bit. And part of that has to do with the large storm losses we've seen, but also on the investment side. When you talk about the economy, insurance companies make money on two ways. They make money on profit, and they make money on investments. And if the investments aren't there, then it doesn't counter off the profitability side. So that's when you start to see it affect the insurance industry and prices in general.
Okay. Wow. So, okay. So do you have any, I guess, I'm trying to figure out how that relates to the problems and challenges people are seeing out there.
Well, I can bring up some things. I mean, for example, replacement cost versus market value. Say a person goes out and buys a house for $150,000. It was a short sale. The house back in the day would have sold for $350,000, 2,500 square feet. They may come to me and say, hey, Chris, I want to insure that house for $150,000 because that's all I paid for it. Well, the insurance company wants to rebuild the house. You know, not like a car where it gets totaled and we write you a check. We're actually going to rebuild the house. And so the rebuild of the house actually is a calculation. And typically houses don't burn totally to the ground. It does happen, but there's a partial loss. So the insurance company wants to insure it correctly, and so we use computer models for replacement cost. And so that's one area which the customers out there should understand is there's a difference between the replacement cost of a home and the actual market value that they paid for it, because the insurance does not pay for the land. It pays for the structure and the frame and the sticks and the bricks, I call it, but not the dirt.
Wow, that's interesting. And maybe we'll explore that when we get back from our break. But that's interesting. It costs more to rebuild a house than to buy a house.
Many times it does, because the market value,
Okay, well, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hirschberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly, whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy. wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hershberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hershberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hershberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
At Birenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins, you have a great firm.
A family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory. When we started, he always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe. Collins and Collins, great family law attorneys and more.
Hello, this is Mike Hoffman again with 1010 Phoenix, Arizona, Breaking Murphy's Law. So we have Chris Roden here, our agent with American Family Insurance, and Ann Husky, an account executive with Service Master by Disaster Professionals. And we're talking a little bit at the break about ACV versus RCV, and this is really an important topic that, you know, anyone who has insurance on their home really needs to understand this, because a lot of times you buy insurance and I shop around and I want to get the best rate, but you got to really understand what you're buying. So Chris, you want to talk about ACV versus RCV?
Yeah, ACV is actual cash value. RCV is replacement cost value. So typically the most people's homeowner's insurance policy would have a replacement cost value, what they call an HO5, HO6, and I won't get too technical, but that comes with the policy. However, in certain conditions, if the house is older, an insurance company or an agent might deem it to be an ACV risk, in which case it's actual cash value. Mm-hmm. Actual cash value is exactly what it says. Basically, it's a depreciated amount. So, for example, if you have an ACV endorsement on a roof, and the roof is 15 years old, and there's a big hail damage storm, for example, or it burns in a fire or something like that, instead of them putting a new roof on your home, you will get the 5 years left on whatever that roof was. It was a 20-year roof, and there's 15 years depreciated, right? You'll get a value of a 5-year worth of a roof.
So. Okay, so like we had a big hailstorm here a year and a half ago, and how many people do you know who said, I got a new roof out of that, or I got new air conditioning out of that? But do you think some people ended up having a $15,000 or $20,000 roof put on their house, and maybe they had to pay a part of it themselves?
Yeah, very much, very typically. The one thing the listeners should understand, especially in Arizona, if you have a property claim, make it within the first 12 months, because a lot of policies out there revert to ACV. They're RCV for the first 12 months, but once that 12-month limit goes, you've turned in the claim late, you're going to wind up with an ACV. So you could have had it literally on the anniversary of that claim being worth one amount one day, and the next amount it's worth less. So it's, don't procrastinate. Go out there and make the claim as soon as you can.
Wow. So the good news is you have a year from the time of your loss.
Right, and we like to see it more than that. I mean, immediately if possible, you know.
Right.
But the sooner the better, basically, as far as that goes. Yeah.
So good news is a year, the bad news, it's only a year, and you better act fast.
For those that like to procrastinate, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, wow. So how about, like, the, you know, contents? I mean, we see people whose whole house is affected by water damage or by a fire, and, you know, a lot of their, you know, hopefully the majority of their contents can be restored. Mm-hmm. And I believe usually insurance covers the whole restoration cost, does it not?
It depends, yeah. And it depends on the claim. It depends how the policy was written. You know, a condominium has real property coverage, stated amount types, for example. It can be $30,000 typically, or $35,000, $50,000. So it really depends on how much the loss is.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't have the real property coverage, then of course it wouldn't get covered. So it just depends on the actual policy itself. In terms of replacement cost on personal contents,
mm-hmm.
It's usually a two-check system. So for example, if you have a TV that was stolen, you paid $5,000 for the TV, got depreciated down to $1,000, the company will cut you a check first for $1,000. Mm-hmm. And then if you go and replace the TV, which these days would be back $1,500, but let's just, you know, for argument's sake, it was $5,000, they would make you whole. So in order to have replacement cost coverage, you have to actually have to replace the item.
Okay.
That's how that works.
Okay. Well, very interesting. That's
that
good. Yeah, just so imagine, our listeners out there, imagine your house, kind of look at every room in your mind, and then imagine there's 3 inches of water in there, and what could be affected by water, or that there's a fire and everything's affected by smoke. And then, now what? And, things like a hardwood furniture, those can be restored. That's not going to be an issue. Other things can be cleaned, but, you know, if you have, how many televisions do you have? How many other pieces of electronics do you have? How many furniture items do you have that are not hardwood but are made out of some kind of pressed wood? All of those could become non-salvage, and then that's when you will want to have the RCV.
That's right, and there's two issues to that. There's the actual issue of fixing the items or replacing them if they're broken, and also mm-hmm. moving them out. Typically what happens in a fire mm-hmm. or even in some floods is the house is not inhabitable. So now the customer needs to move out mm-hmm. and then, you know, stay in an extended stay, which, by the way, is part of an HO5 policy. And you should call your agent and make sure that you have that loss of use or additional living expense on your policy so that gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
But what people don't realize is that when you have to box up your items to move out as they fix your house, just the boxing up and storing of those items can be tens of thousands of dollars itself. That's the cost that people don't consider.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partly paid for by the insurance company as well, whether you have a renter's insurance company or policy or a homeowner's policy typically. So that's
right.
Something that they should really look to see that they have another policy.
So that's something contents, right? That's the contents portion.
Well,
of
there's several. In a homeowner's policy, you have real property, which deals with, for example, the structure, the sticks and the bricks and
mm-hmm.
pool house and stuff. And then you have personal property, which would be what you would refer to as your contents.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have liability insurance, medical insurance, and you have that extended living coverage. So those are really the five main pillars of a homeowner's policy.
Okay. Wow. Well, this is interesting stuff. It may not be exciting stuff,
right.
But it's something that's very important to understand, you know, because when you go to get, you know, when you go to renew your insurance policy or you go to buy an insurance policy, and it's important to have someone that you can trust, like Chris,
well, thank you.
To help you get the right insurance for your needs.
Absolutely. And as you buy a house, you know, one thing is the insurance companies these days are really looking at the risks much closer than they used to. So
mm-hmm.
they look for things like dogs. A lot of companies have restrictions on dogs. If you have a pit bull, a Rottweiler, Chow, or such,
mm-hmm.
They won't write the policy. Some companies will, and I'm a big dog lover myself, and so,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of them will not. The second thing they look for is the condition of the roof. So
mm-hmm.
if the roof is not in good shape, either a company will put an actual cash value endorsement on the policy or they won't write the business at all.
Wow.
So as you go to buy your homes and you go out and look for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Aluminum wiring is an issue. People don't talk about that very often. You know, that was uh-huh. from 1967 to 1972. That was used during the Vietnam War, and
mm-hmm.
It has a 50 times more high likelihood of fire than a regular type of wiring. So a lot of insurance companies will not insure a house with aluminum wiring unless it has specific types of tails put on there.
Okay.
You can talk to an electrician about that, but again, as you're buying a house, that's something you got to pay attention to.
Wow. So what advice do you have for someone who is out there and needs to get insurance and they need to get the right insurance?
Right.
I would imagine someone would come to you and you'd spend some time and kind of ask them certain questions or have them fill out a survey? I mean, how does that work? Or what's the right way for this to happen?
Well, I think, you know, when you do your due diligence in buying a house, you want to make sure the appraisal kicks in and so forth. You also want to make sure the house is insured. So whoever your insurance agent is, just give them a call and have them calculate the value. We actually have a calculator that we use, a 360 exact value, which so we don't just pick a number out of the air. And so if the person pays 150 grand for their house, doesn't mean we're going to short for 150 or short for 75. I actually go into a computer model by the square footage, by the frame, by the roof composition, by all this little, you would be amazed on what the details are. And I come up with a replacement cost calculator.
How do you know all those things?
You have to ask.
Uh-huh.
You know, or you get an appraisal, you know, sent to you and what have you. And so once you have that, you know, and then you make sure the roof is good and so forth, you tell the insurance that, okay, you're clear to go. And for as far as the insurance goes, we can go ahead and make you an offer on that. And then from there, they make their offer and go from there.
Well, that's very important these days in today's economy and today's housing market, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is, yeah. You know, just getting the insurance and... that's typically true of the investor that, you know, has rental properties. One thing we can talk about is vacant homes and unoccupied houses and what have you. But insurance companies do not like vacant homes. If the home is vacant for more than 60 days, there's exclusions in the policy that won't pay out on a claim. So just buying a house and sitting on it, you know, you have to get – there are special types of insurance out there that I can get for a customer as well called vacant home insurance.
Oh, good.
It's a little more pricey. But, again, if you're an investor, you need to really line up and try to have tenants in place and everything ahead of time.
Okay, so let's say I lost my job or I get a new job out of town and my house, I intend to sell it, but or I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it, and I know it's going to sit for 2 months or 3 months. What should I do?
Well, that's a very interesting question. What I would suggest you do is that you essentially have two homes. You'll have a residence wherever you're moving to, and you'll have this home here until you decide what to do with it. I would keep some furniture in there and basically use it for your own secondary home up until such time that you either decide to rent it out with a property manager or try to sell it all together. If, however, you know, sometimes people will pick up every crumb out of that house and move it out to the other city. We keep it the way it is, but after 60 days, you know, it's better for them than to get a vacant home policy.
Okay, so there are policies to cover.
There are. They're special. That's a specialty market. Yeah, that's right.
But people should have that.
They really should. They should really pay attention. You know, if you're listening out there and you have a house that's been sitting around for a while, you need to call your insurance agent and let them know what's going on and so forth. Yeah.
So, you know, like myself, I think about myself, and I'm going to say I think I got kind of pregnant with different kinds of insurance as I went along, that's kind of maybe a not a good way of putting it.
That's all right.
But I just know I moved here from Michigan when I graduated from college, and my father, I had a car, and my father said, okay, you have to get insurance on your car. Okay. So I stopped at an insurance agent's office, and I wrote insurance on my car, and then a couple, 3 years later, I bought a house, and I had insurance on that, and then a few years later, I got a different house and had more cars and more things and all this kind of stuff, and I mean, I don't know that, and I think that's typical of a lot of people. So should people have an insurance checkup every
and
then?
Yeah, that's, I'm all over that. That's something we call it a personal insurance review. And with my company, we actually have people in headquarters that call up my customers and ask them once a year if they'd like to have a review or not. And not everyone does it, but we at least offer that service. And I would tell everyone out there, especially with the real estate market heating back up, that really, even if you only spend a few minutes on the phone with your agent just to figure out where you're at, it's really important that they do that.
Okay, wow. And do you have any experiences with that that you'd like to share?
Well, I just sold my house and...
Get close to the microphone.
I just sold my house, and Chris is my agent, and he's very thorough and goes over everything.
And you did that. You spent some quality time together. And
yes.
Do you feel pretty safe, sure that you have the right coverage?
And when I go to purchase a new one, he'll direct me in the right way.
Absolutely. Okay. So, but that, and anyone who's out there, whoever your agent happens to be, just don't be afraid to pick up the phone, give them a call, and let them look over what you got. It's very important you do that both on the autos and on the home, and life insurance also. So.
Yeah, and all your toys. Boy.
Yeah.
Make sure they're covered.
That's
Geez. Okay, well, I think it's time for us to go to a break. So anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes and with our conclusion.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm.
A family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe. Collins and Collins, great family law attorneys and more.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hey, live from 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, this is Mike Hoffman with Breaking Murphy's Law. Okay, well, just coming back from our break, why don't we talk a little bit about, what were we going to talk about, Chris?
We're going to talk about scheduling items, you know, Murphy's Law. You know,
one
thing that people don't understand, and it doesn't matter whether they have a small, modest home or they're very affluent, you know, is that you have coverage for real property. And you have coverage for personal property. And so, for example, if the real property is $300,000, typically the personal property is a percentage of that amount, let's say $250,000. But within the $250,000, there are limitations. So, for example, jewelry might only be insured up to $2,500, guns to $5,000, computers to $5,000. So people who don't really pay attention to the declarations page will look at that $250,000 of personal contents and say, hey, I'm golden. You know, I got a $25,000 ring. I've got this $5,000 Rolex. That's all should be covered within that $250,000 of personal contents. And it's not.
Okay.
And so they need to schedule those items separately.
Okay, so let me understand. Let's say, what's a typical house value? $200,000?
Yeah, well, yeah, in the valley, that's probably about right.
Okay, so I mean, if someone has a home that's a $200,000 home, they have so it would be, it could sell for $200,000. What's it probably going to be insured for?
Well, I would have to ask you a lot of questions there. Just give me a square footage of this house, this hypothetical home that you would say.
Oh, let's say it's a 1,700 square foot house.
Okay, now that actually, you know, typically you don't go under $100 a square foot. My calculation has never done that. So I would say off the top of my head, let's say 225, 200, something like that. And again, it's not the land.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the house itself.
Okay.
And then what you get with that typically is personal contents coverage, which is a percentage of that amount. It could be 75%. It can be 80. It depends on the endorsements on the homeowners, but typically that amount.
Okay.
And then so let's just say that this hypothetical person has a ring worth $20,000,
mm-hmm.
and the ring gets stolen.
Right.
And they go and make a claim and say, hey, look, you know, I have $150,000 of personal contents covered, and I just lost the $20,000 ring. I'd like to be reimbursed.
Okay.
Well, technically, you would get $1,500 for that because the jewelry has specific limitations to the policy. So one thing that people need to check with their agents is what kind of jewelry they have, guns and things, and look at the limitations within the policy itself to make sure that they're insured adequately.
Wow. Boy, that's something that we have to stay on top of that. So let's say I do my personal due diligence and I have a list of everything I own,
yep.
Which I don't know how many people do that, but it's kind of good to have a list of everything
own. Well, or take you have to be reasonable. I mean, no one keeps the receipts of their underwear, for example, right. For their tablecloth. I don't, you know. But if you had a fire or you were totally, you know, everything was stolen from your house, the adjusters have to look and they have to go by something. You know, you have to prove you had it, whether you have the box, you know, a receipt. Sometimes it makes sense to take a video, you know, of your rooms and just keep that with mom or somebody offsite or something like that. Just so you have some documentation of proof that you actually owned it, you know.
Okay.
And then within that, though, you should do that insurance checkup of talking about the scheduled items. If you're a gun collector, for example, you have a lot of really nice guns.
Right.
Some of those need to be scheduled separately.
Okay, so it's not enough to have a list of them. It's not enough to take photos of them. We should really talk with our insurance agent and make sure that I have coverage for all those items.
Well, yes, with a personal insurance review, yeah. So, for example, now scheduling an item like a ring will schedule it against loss, too, not just against... Typically, you have perils. You have fire, vandalism, theft, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens if, you know, you bought your wife a nice wedding ring and you're on vacation and this has happened in the sand? She sticks her hand in the sand and comes out and the ring's not there and doesn't know where it went and the ocean waves took it. Under normal policies, that type of thing would not be covered. But if you have a scheduled item, you know, that covers you against loss as well, too, up to the amount. That's the key thing, is up to the amount. So what you need typically is an appraisal of the ring, and then you take a picture or bring the ring in actually to the insurance agent, take a picture, and then off you go.
Wow. So what percentage of people actually do that?
Not a very high percentage. We do ask it, you know, and it's a risk and reward thing. I mean, it's not cheap to insure jewelry. Typically, it's about $150 for every $10,000 of value, and so not everyone will do that, but, you know, for those people that really, really value their items, it makes a lot of sense, and so we encourage that. And that same truth goes for fine arts, for example, as well, or collectibles.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you do that, Ann? Do you have a schedule of everything that you have?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay, and you've got insurance for it.
I did.
Yeah, okay. We'll have to get that again. No, I'm just feeling really delinquent here because I bought my wife a new wedding ring a few years ago. And
did you schedule that ring?
I don't think so.
Well, then you're going cold turkey with that thing. You know?
Yeah, so, I know. Well, yeah. Well, we had a robbery in our house like 4 or 5 years ago.
You did?
Burglary.
Okay.
And, you know, that was kind of a wake-up call there. I mean, how do you prove that, you know, you had that ring? How do you prove? And some of the things may have actual cash value, or a lot of them have sentimental value.
That's exactly, I have a story about that. I had a very close customer, and he's passed away over the years, but he played for the Oklahoma State football team. He was a national champion, and he had lost his belt buckle, you know, that had the Oklahoma State thing, too. And so he didn't have that scheduled. And, you know, what you get is the value of the actual belt buckle, not the sentimental value of what that represented, you know.
Right.
So one thing the listeners should understand, that there's a value that there's in the marketplace that appraises, and, of course, the value is to you, the one that your grandmother gave you, what have you. And those are two different things. It's hard to insure the sentimental aspect of something, more the physical side.
Well, is there any way to insure the sentimental side?
You know, if you can get it to appraise, if you get someone to give you an appraisal for that amount, and then of course, yeah. But if it's just in your own mind, it's worth $1 million because it's given to you by a family member. That's just your own issue there.
Wow. Well, that's, you know, that's something we have to keep in mind. You know, when, you know, the purpose of insurance, and, you know, I kind of hate to bring it up because insurance is such a really good thing, and it's there to get your life to be back where it was. But you really want to do everything you can to prevent the need to file a claim, you know, because you can have things that are sentimental value, and it doesn't matter how much money you have or how rich you are. If your house burns down, you're going to lose things. You could lose things that really are irreplaceable that just money can't buy.
Right, and it all goes back to what we were talking about, the limitations. You know, the insurance does two things. It actually protects your valuables should something bad happen. But if you insure yourself properly, you have that peace of mind and to go focus and do what you do, whatever you happen to do in your life and whatever kind of goals you want to achieve. If you know that things will be taken care of should something bad happen, that frees you up.
Yeah.
And so, and the risk return type of thing, again, that's for the agent to decide and with the customer, they can go over and decide, okay, do you want to spend $10,000 to insure jewelry, or do you want to risk some of it? I mean, there's no perfect answer here. You know,
mm-hmm.
every person's situation is different. Everybody's right. ability to pay a premium is different. So you just mm-hmm. do the best you can with the information you got.
Right. Well, I can tell you, I mean, insurance is there for peace of mind. And I tell people this every now and then. Now, we'll talk about automobile insurance. And
sure.
I don't know if I ever told you this story, Chris, but my wife got into an accident with my two kids about 10, 12 years ago. And it was kind of her fault. She was turning out of our neighborhood. She made a left-hand turn. She saw a car coming, but she didn't see the car after it.
Right.
And she hit the car on the side. Well, then, so anyway, everything got taken care of. No one was really hurt seriously. But then we moved to Mexico, and we were living in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Wow.
And great. I just love it there. I could tell you all a lot of good things about Guadalajara. But anyway, but one funny thing was we didn't really want anything ever mailed to our house.
Right.
There, we would have a special delivery service for things that were important to us. But we did have, because anything that got mailed, like our water bill or our phone bill, it could show up on our front door. It could show up in our backyard. You just never know where it came. Well, one day I found, and we had a garage, and someone had slipped this big legal-sized envelope under the door of the garage, and someone, and it was from the lawyer of the person that my wife hit,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to sue us for everything that we owned,
sure.
or that's what it sounded like.
Right, of course.
And we could never cover it, and it's like, oh my gosh, we're in another company, another country. This is going on. We could lose everything we've worked for our whole life. It was just very, very scary.
Of course.
And I called my insurance agent, and he just gave me the best peace of mind. I just will never forget this. He told me that don't worry. That's what you have insurance for.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, yes, and your limit is this, and they're trying to sue you for over that limit, but we have good lawyers, and we're going to take care of you. And I believed him. And it turned out to be that way.
That's right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of benefits you get with insurance beyond the value or the value of the policy. You get, someone on your side to help fight for you when the need arises.
And that's one of the most important keys. You know, people think about their cars and their rings and their homes mm-hmm. and whatnot. But if you ever get sued, it's mm-hmm. important that your insurance company is large enough and has the availability to defend you in a proper manner. So, you know, you can go into look at the different pricing of different insurance companies and the wars you see. But at the end of the day, you have to research the company itself and make sure it's solvent and it actually will defend you should mm-hmm. you, like in your case, something like that happen. Because that's where that peace of mind comes in.
Right.
You know, Murphy's Law came in and all of that. You know.
Right, right, right. Well, yeah. And again, it's just so there's just so many factors. And we see that all the time in the work we do with ServiceMaster. We're going into people's homes that have been damaged in some way, and you from water or fire, and it's just so important to be ready for it. And I've been in this business for 5 years, and I never realized how many people suffer losses, property losses, and not in this business. I mean, I've had a water loss in my house. My mother and father-in-law have. I've my wife's siblings, just a lot of people out there, and it's not something you expect. It's not something that you can plan for, but these things happen. So
they do, and I think people should take those precautions we talked about. You know, those hoses to the washing machines, those mm-hmm. hoses to the toilet tanks, the water heater being checked, because they don't last forever, as you know from you'll probably
right.
see a lot of those claims. So it's just a matter of actually paying attention. Just like you do the tread wear on your tires,
right.
you need to look around your home. And if you see that the hoses are cracked or something, they're very inexpensive at Home Depot mm-hmm. to replace or have somebody do it, of course, if you don't know how to do it yourself professionally. But that's what you need to do.
Right, right. Yeah, just think of your house. Okay, we've got a couple minutes left here. But, yeah, just think of your house. Think about how many valves are in your house, how many fittings there are in your house, how many connections. You know, all those things can fail. Think of all the electrical wiring in your house. Yeah, I mean, all the breakers, and then you take and you put people in there. And sometimes people don't do the smartest things in the world.
That's right.
Or you've got animals. Just things can go wrong. So anything that you can do to prevent and do, preventative maintenance or anything to prevent, accidents or problems from happening, you should do.
That's absolutely correct. You know, and then again, assurance goes right back to that peace of mind, and that's what this is all about, right? The Murphy's Law and pulling this all back together on self-limitations. You know, let the insurance company take some of those limitations off you so you can focus on what you do best.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you coming here.
It's my pleasure.
Chris is an insurance agent with American Family. Also, he's active in the Republican Party. I don't know if it's okay if I said that, but I just did.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm not ashamed of that, so we're good.
And Husky, account executive for ServiceMaster. Everyone have a great afternoon.
FamilyValuesRadio.net.
1010 KXXT.
Collison, Phoenix.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm.
A family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe. Collins and Collins, great family law attorneys and more.
At Birenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.